Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. Some stories around today. Lots of stories around today. There's one we're going to focus on in a minute or two. Gargantuan China fossils reveal 70-ton dinosaur had a 15-metre neck.
That's such a good photo.
Longer than a giraffe. But very giraffe-like. I wonder if this particular dinosaur, can anybody have a go at this? It's the fourth line down on the story. The Mammakosaurus Sinocanadorum.
Well done.
That's about it, isn't it?
That's convincing. We'll take
that. I think when you see those long ones, if you just slow down, don't panic, what do they say? Smooth is slow and slow is fast. It'll come to you. Let the word come to you. Mm. With my mild dyslexia, that throws me into a wild panic, let me tell you. Sometimes. Anyway, very giraffe-like, that particular dinosaur. This goes on to dinosaurs and to necks and to giraffes. You know, the giraffe has a very long neck, much longer than any other animal, unless you include birds, which I don't think is fair in my little game in my head because it ruins my point.
Okay. All right.
Like ostriches and emus and flamingos and swans. They've all got very long necks, but they're birds. They sort of need them. They're a bit plane-like. It's like planes have long fuselages. Otherwise, they'll fall out of the sky. They need them to fly. Giraffes need them to eat leaves
on higher
trees. But, you know, one down from a giraffe, as if it doesn't have wings, from a proportional neck-to-body ratio, it's like literally... Giraffes win by a country mile or many giraffes, consecutive giraffe's necks. There's nothing comes close.
No.
Well, there's a horse, and at Cheltenham, you know, you win by a neck. But if it was a giraffe racing that they did at Cheltenham, then winning by a neck is actually quite a big win.
By the way, there will be giraffe racing somewhere in the world. We have camel racing at Carfest often. Channel 4 expands Taskmaster Universe with 6-season renewal and junior version. We'll get onto that story in a moment. Just put that one over there. That's our main story today. ChatGPT-4 aces the bar exam. ChatGPT-4 has now been online for just over 24 hours. You have to pay for it. It's sort of $19-ish a month, but it does these amazing things. You can write down I did it yesterday. You can write down with a pen on the back of a fag packet or the back of a piece of A4, or the back of your hand. You can write down. Come up with a name, Vassos. Any name. Come up with a subject. Any subject you like in the world. Any subject. Go up quick.
Middle Eastern food.
Middle Eastern food. All right. And come up with a name, Rachel. Just come up with a funky name for a food company, like Middle Eastern.
Bite Me.
Bite Me. So you can write down on the back of your hand with a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
Please design me a website for, what was it again?
Middle Eastern food.
Middle Eastern food. And I'm going to call it Bite Me. It can be that convoluted. You then take a photograph of what you've just written. You then give that to ChatGPT-4. And just as you've pressed send, it has created a whole website for you. Interactive, URL, everything. Boom, off you go.
Oh.
By the way, that's one of the many things it can do.
What about web designers?
Exactly. I mean, nowhere near as good as web designers, if web designers listen to the show.
Good.
But that is a thing that it can do. And by the way, that's 4.0. The government apparently have already got 4.5 and 5.0. And China may have like 100.0. Their version of. Because I think it's a Microsoft thing, isn't it? Which explains why Microsoft shares went up yesterday by quite a lot. Airbnb offers a stay at World War One bunker in Norfolk for £75 a night. Woman opens one of Britain's smallest shops housed in a former toilet. I do like that. You can buy toilets, can't you? You can buy public toilets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of underground toilets, Victorian toilets in London that often go up for sale. And people buy them. And they usually turn them into coffee shops, it has to be said.
Yeah,
or nightclubs. Mm. There's a rotunda for sale just opposite one of the really famous theatres. I think it might be the Garrick. Is the Garrick on Tottenham Court Road at the lower end, just by Trafalgar Square?
Might be.
Just behind Leicester Square. There's the rotunda for sale there.
What's a rotunda?
Well, it's like a sort of, it's the same shape as a carousel, but it's a little building. Like a hut,
like,
but a fancy
like a
hut.
Round hut.
It's not hexagonal, more often hexagonal.
Okay.
This one is anyway. Been for sale
it's
for
not
ages.
In the middle of a roundabout.
It sort of is.
Okay. So access could be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It used to be a ticket office. It used to be a ticket, you know, one of those things. Tom Cruise skips Oscars to celebrate Michael Caine's birthday. Michael Caine is 90. He celebrated it at the River Cafe, his favourite restaurant. He's got his apartment still there, just by there. Been to that apartment. Shakira was there with him. Some friends were there. Denise Welsh was there. She got up, told some pretty decent gags, one of which, have you read it?
No.
Oh, it's not for this show. In the paper today, David Williams was there, but also Tom Cruise was there. And there's a picture of Tom Cruise, who's 60-odd, looks 20-odd, and Michael Caine, who was 90, because it's his 90th birthday, looking very blimmin' well for 90.
Yeah.
And isn't it great that they're together, celebrating together, two absolute movie legends. French Bulldog becomes top US dog breed, literally the top dog. Adults hit their fitness peak at 45. Well, for some, perhaps, you know, I'm looking at 65 for my fitness peak. I feel great at the moment. Mm. I feel great. Do you feel good?
Yeah, you've started doing weight training, haven't you?
Little bits.
And how's that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, not much, to be honest. I'm only doing it because I can't run, because of my bulging disc. I'm running once a week at weekends for my long run, and I'm just not running at all. I'm cycling a lot because it has no effect on my disc, and I love cycling. So I've got more strength in my legs than ever before. So again, silver lining. Look for the silver linings. The weight training is interesting. I'm going very, very heavy with low reps because I don't want to build bulk. I'm not interested in building bulk.
And just make sure you obviously do the right...
I do it with the physio, don't worry.
Good.
She's got my back. Literally, she has my back. How are you feeling fitness-wise?
I'm very, very good, yes. I was cycling yesterday because Tom was off school, so we went for a 10K cycle. And I really enjoyed that. I haven't been cycling for ages. And I haven't done swimming for a while, but I'd like to get back into that.
Yeah, I cycle in every day now because I cycle back. Usually, I just run in and I get the tube back to the car, but now I'm cycling back and forth. And it's great because you don't realise London is downhill towards the river because the river is in the valley, and that's why the river's where it
is.
That
would make sense.
You know, and when I cycle to work, it's mostly downhill, and then after the show, when I'm buzzing and thinking about the show and what we said and what could have been better and what flew, so we must do more of that, then I'm cycling uphill, and it basically quiets my mind because after about a minute I'm thinking, all I have to think about now is good. I can forget about it. And by the time I get to the car, I forget about the show. And I'm, you know, it's great, isn't it? Because you're back to what you need to be for A, the rest of the day for your family, so work's not on your mind. And B, you are fresh to start again today, which is what this particular show is all about. But talking of cycling, shout out to All Pedals. How great are pedals? They're so strong. I spend the whole of my time cycling stood up. And my pedals, they don't even think about wilting or bending or... They're amazing. They're only little, aren't they? What are pedals made of? They have me. They have A, they have my bulk, and B, they have me pushing down on them like Billy, and I'm pulling with my arms because I'm having an arm workout, and sometimes I'm pulling, sometimes I'm pushing, and I change it, and I feel that, you know, sorting my core out. But all the time, these poor little two... Today, I really felt for my pedals. I thought, you know, I should give you a break now. I'm not going to.
No.
I should give you a break before you break, but they seem fine, these pedals.
They've only got a little... bolt to attach them to the...
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I completely see what
they're
you
so,
mean.
Pedals are
well
so...
Well done, pedals.
Pedals are so good at their jobs. They're so good. Woman opens one of Britain's smallest... I've done that one. All right. Adults hit... They've done that one as well. Okay, so it's back to you.
Okay.
It's back to you.
It's him.
Check this out. Channel 4 expands Taskmaster universe with 6-season renewal and junior version. So I came today, I thought, this is great. It's great. I'm so pleased for Alex. I'm so pleased for the show. Who doesn't like Taskmaster? If you think you don't like Taskmaster, then you haven't watched it, because you will like it. It's just great. There's the board game out. It has a very big presence online. It's got its own YouTube channel, you know, and the junior versions, they've commissioned a junior version, thank heaven. You know, why that wasn't a sort of joint commission in the first place, I don't know, but better late than never. And I'm reading this story. So all that's going on in my head, I'm really pleased. Couldn't be more pleased.
No.
Could not be more pleased for you. And it's won all the awards, won BAFTAs, won this, that and the other. And I'm thinking, you know, to get a 6th season is amazing. Evans, you muppet, it's not a 6th season. It's 6 more seasons. Nobody in the world of television now, and I'm talking the biggest stars in the world. I'm talking Harrison Ford with Shrinking, his new Apple TV Plus show. I'm talking about Ted Lasso and Jason Sudeikis, you know, with the Ted Lasso show. I'm talking about Succession on HBO. I'm talking about Anton Deck. I'm talking about Strictly Come Dancing. Nobody in the world gets a 6-series commission. Boom. Bada bada bing. Out of the park, my friend. That's awesome news.
It is amazing. It's very exciting.
And the Taskmaster theme park. They're going to have their own theme park around the house from where they live. An actual theme park that people go to all day to task the master.
This was yesterday.
Well, yeah, this was announced yesterday. The six seasons and the junior.
So you knew about this?
Well, I said to Alex, did we not know this like months ago? And Alex said, yes, but it wasn't official. You weren't supposed to say anything. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't.
I mean, that is huge. Because the initial season was, sorry, the initial commission was six series anyway.
Yeah.
This is six more. And how many series did they do on Dave?
They did nine on Dave.
9, 6, 15, 21. 21 series. That is a hit and a half. Because, you know, if you have a hit show that runs for 3 or 4 years, if you sort yourself out, you know, and you're smart, you're sort of, you know, your mortgage is pretty much sorted out and done, you know, and your reputation's up there and all you can do is ruin it, you know, or if you maintain that kind of thing, you know, that's, you're doing all right, if you, depending on what part of the production you are. Six series, unbelievable. 21, you know, because usually what you have a hit show like Phil Rosenthal did with Everybody Loves Raymond, and then you have a layoff and then you can't get arrested. It's really bizarre sometimes. And then you hopefully you get another hit like he has now with Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. You know, so you say you have a big six series hit, then, you know, you'd be lucky to get another one in your lifetime. Yeah, but if you don't need one because you have 21 series of the one show, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. What's really interesting for me is, and I promise I'll play a song in a minute, but what gets really interesting for me is, Rachel, you said to me the other day, Alex is so busy this year. Well, buckle up for the next few because it isn't going to get any less busy. Not what with the theme park. I'm very excited about the theme park.
Me too.
It's not confirmed.
No, it's not confirmed. It's going to happen though. I wonder where. Is he scouting locations for the theme park?
Couldn't possibly comment.
Oh, that's so. Nobody's busy. Jeez. He's got another valley to look at today. Oh, I've looked at three valleys this week. It's becoming the Simpsons of UK TV. Nothing wrong with that, by the way, is there?
Nope.
Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, Alex and Greg are becoming the Ant and Dec of Channel 4. Nothing wrong with that either. Oh, my goodness me. Paris Hilton's on the show today. We couldn't be more excited to have Paris on the show. She's written this amazing book. It's called The Memoir. Rachel and I have read it. Vassos has read it too. It's a gripping read. She's very candid. You should definitely read it. It's amazing. There's levity in it. There's this picture of the Holy Trinity. A picture so iconic that it had its own 15th anniversary.
I mean, it's pretty special. I want one of the windscreen
sunlight. We know what to get. When's your birthday?
29th of May. Me one of those.
Okay, we'll get
I'll be so happy.
And Aussie Nick one because you have birthday on the same day. Because I know he loves Pratt. He'll be in a minute.
Connor's going to be in a minute. Alex is going to be in a minute.
Of course they are going, oh, you're in early today.
Just got up,
felt good.
Woo-hoo. Love a Thursday.
Paris Hilton's in today, 8:30. Is she?
No idea.
No, I hadn't heard that. Big news though, isn't it? You had some Paris Hilton heads up from where you wouldn't normally expect it yesterday.
Yeah, I was told, you know, I was dropping Mary's friend, Marnie, back at her house and her mum went, you've got Paris Hilton on tomorrow.
I love people tell you as if you didn't realise.
But I didn't realise, Paris Hilton is now on my radar. Yesterday wasn't on my radar and my goodness me, but I think I'm the only person whose radar she wasn't on.
I want to go back and watch the shows.
Yeah.
I want to go. So her first show was My Simple Life with her pal. And they made that when she was 18, 19, 19. And it launched and it had this incredible launch viewing attendance, which was 13 million back in the day for a reality show. And remember, you know, this wasn't the 50th reality show that year. This was like the first ever reality show. You know, I would say the Osbournes as well were similar and different, but the beginning of the sort of carving out of that particular genre. Osbournes, Paris Hilton. They're definitely hand in hand, parallel, without question. And it all began. And then the second show went up. So you had this record sort of launch viewing figure. And then week after it went up. That doesn't happen. You know, it usually goes down a little bit because there's all the publicity around the first bit. It went up. And some people, a lot of my friends were brought up on Paris Hilton's The Simple Life. And then people who are a bit younger know her for My New Best Friend, which she filmed in London. And they all wanted to be her new best friend. they all wanted to write to her and get on it and be. I don't know who ended up being her new best friend. Kim Kardashian, who obviously then subsequently also became really, really famous, the most famous person ever in reality TV. I thought she was famous because she was Paris Hilton's makeup artist. Not true. She was her best mate, and Paris just got her a job as a stylist.
She decluttered Paris's wardrobe. Imagine how much fun would that be?
Not the whole of Paris, just Paris Hilton. She was named, by the way, wasn't she, after the Paris Hilton? That is a true story. Anyway, Paris Hilton, if you didn't get this, we're trying to convey the fact that she's on the show.
It's a really big deal.
It's a massive... Tash said to me last night, didn't you know it's huge tomorrow? I said, no, it's big. She went, no, Chris, Paris Hilton's on the show. That is massive.
40 million social media followers.
Nearly as many as Taskmaster. She can only dream. So we're live from the top of the tower. It's TFI Thursday, Friday Eve. You can smell the weekend, can't you?
Yes.
Everybody's so much more chipper on a Thursday. I mean, pretty upbeat here anyway, got to be said. But, you know, you get downstairs, see the guys in reception security. It's all different straight off the bat. It's just different on a Thursday,
it's
don't
a
you
vibe.
Think? And because we start work when we do and we finish when we do, you know... We are now less than 24 hours away from the weekend because we finish at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Yep.
And we were all due to go to Cheltenham today, weren't we? We were going to get on a train and go to Cheltenham.
Very excited. St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Yeah, we're going to wear all green.
We're not going. And do you know what? We don't mind.
It's fine. It's really fine.
It would begin to hurt, I would say. But the first pain, the real pain, would be about 3:30 this afternoon, 4 o'clock, because we'd get there about 1.
Uh-huh.
And it would begin to hurt and haze around 3:30, 4 o'clock. Do you think so?
Mm-hmm. I fully agree.
Yeah, but I'd be everybody going to Cheltenham. Have a great one. Camilla was there yesterday. She looked good, didn't she?
Good, good.
She looked great. No problem with that. Too.
How was a Wednesday day off compared to a Monday day off? How's a 2-day week,
good
one day
question.
Off?
So it's difficult to compare because I had Tom at home because of the teacher strikes. So it wasn't like it would normally be.
You know, Tom was a teacher.
Yeah, he's very advanced.
Ooh, excellent. Nice.
But it was actually really nice because we went for a 10K cycle. But it was a very wholesome, like, countryside 10K cycle. But the end destination was a Greg's meal deal.
Greg's meal deal. Greg's going 24/7, aren't they? Soon you can get beige food 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
365/66 days a year. It's funny. We're so people who work on this show, you know, we're full of the P, the physical exercise metrics, aren't we? Because what you could say as a mum is Tom and I went for a bike ride, but you went, we went for a 10K.
Yeah, it was a 10K.
10K
and then it was
bike
like
ride.
Chicken strips and a donut.
Good. Good, good, good. How long did it take?
The cycle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I said it on my watch for me because it was charging, but I'd say probably like an hour or something.
Was it up and down?
Yeah, it's hilly around us.
Off-road?
Not off-road, but we did this bit around the Pedner Loop, which people will know because it's like, it's a circle. So you don't get many cars in it unless they live on it. It's not like a cut through to anywhere, but it's really nicely undulating. And we saw like rabbits and squirrels and a muntjac, those little deers. There was one running along the field. It's really sweet.
I'm in love with my gravel bike.
Yeah, I think I'm
so
in love with
what is a
bike.
Gravel bike?
A gravel bike looks like a racing bike.
So it's got skinny tyres?
No, it looks like... So the frame looks like a racing bike.
So skinny frame.
Skinny-ish. It's the same shape, but everything's a bit thicker. It's not heavier because it's made of carbon fibre. Mine is anyway. Well, it's part semi-carbon fibre forks and things like that. So it's a lot lighter than it looks.
Okay.
Not as light as some, which cost about £1 million.
Yes.
But it's got a racing seat. It's got racing handlebars, but they're bigger, they're thicker.
The curvy ones.
Yeah, but they're thicker.
Okay.
So there's more generally to hold on to. It looks like a racing bike on steroids, to be honest. And it's got much thicker tyres. They're somewhere between a mountain bike and a road bike. And you don't inflate them as much as you would otherwise. So they've got a bit of give in them. And if you go mostly on road, you can inflate them a bit more. 80 PSI-ish or 70 PSI-ish. I do it by thumb test, to be honest. But I love it. I think it's just a great bike. And I bought it because I fell in love with the way it looked. It's got a retro... I'll put a picture on Instagram of it. It had a retro look about it. It was quite Le Mans-y, you know, that kind of livery, stripy, retro kind of colours. And I fell in love with it. And then I bought it and I thought it was sort of just post-lockdown. And, you know, Aussie Nick came round one day and he borrowed it and I took it to Carfest and I rode around Carfest on it instead of going in the golf buggies. And it was much quicker, more nimble. And, you know, you can get to place on a bike that you can't, especially that bike. you know, especially at a festival. And it was just good. It was just really, really good. And people didn't expect me on a bike, so they didn't stop me so much. But then since then, I hadn't used it so much. But since I've hurt my back, you know, and cycling a lot more, it's Tash has been going on these long runs on a Saturday, and I've been sort of cycling alongside her, but then going off on doing loops and things like that. And you know, when you something is really good for you, you love it so much, don't you?
And with me...
That's why I love my wife so much, because she's so good for me. That's why I'm so in love with her, because she's so good for me.
I had a bit of a race with a proper bike this morning on the King's Road. I overtook... It was, you know, one of those really slick black, you know, costs like £1 million sort of bikes. And I overtook him, and then I knew he was going to try and overtake me back, and he did. And then I thought, well, I'm not having that. And it was one of those.
Is it a bike ridge?
No, it's just a little bit of too much testosterone probably at 5 o'clock in the morning on the New King's Road.
You wish.
Yes, I do wish.
We've had our... That's us.
Not enough testosterone.
This is such a yellow character conversation. We've had our testosterone levels checked and they are subterranean.
They're through the floor.
So what the heck was that
I don't know what it was. But anyway, it's like if you overtake someone on a bike and they try and overtake you back, it's sort of like a declaration of war. And I just thought, well, I'm not having that.
What a beautiful way to start your Thursday. Yeah,
But it was fun. I had a smile on my face and I think he did too. Anyway, he went off.
Thanks.
Anyway, there's that bike.
Grimace.
There's that bike. And I thought, would I like to have that bike, because it's obviously worth all of the money and it was a beautiful bike and I was on my Brompton. And then I thought, no, because I don't like how it looks. For me, with a bike, it's very much how it looks. And your bike with the blue and the little yellow and orange stripes around the top bar, it's so beautiful. I would just look at it and just think, I'm just happy to be on this bike, because of how I'm very superficial with bikes. It's just how it looks.
So just superficial with bikes then?
Okay, I'm just superficial.
It's a beautiful Brompton. Where'd you get your Brompton from?
You gave me my Brompton.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm currently travelling to the airport with Dave, Freddie and Susie to fly to Lanzarote for the half Ironman and Tri Camp. Good luck, everyone. First time texter here. First time texter, bell. You get your beep anyway for free. And you get your bell if you're a first time texter. A couple more here. Love in the 80s, says Lisa in Richmond. Please can you say hi to Paul and the engineering buddies? Yes, I can. Give them a beep on us. Hello, Chris, Vass, Rachel and the team. My wife, Corinne, and I are up extra early today to travel to Devon, which means navigating the A303 at Stonehenge during rush hour. What do you mean navigating? You
don't have to, point forward.
You just don't turn off it.
First gear.
Take a flask.
I know what you mean. You could have said surviving, sustaining, withstanding, but navigating is definitely the wrong word.
Mind you, there is a bit of a funny cut through. You go round the back. So if you were going to pass Stonehenge on your right, which you are, heading down to Devon, turn right the roundabout beforehand and turn left then and you miss all of the traffic.
Yeah, if you're in a rush to get to Devon, but who's in a rush to get to Devon? You know, if you're in a rush to get to Devon, no, you're not in a rush, because the whole point is it doesn't matter how long it takes to get to somewhere like that. You just... Look, she says here we've got drinks and snacks just in case we're stranded. They're ready for the strand.
Okay. They want the strand. She's got snacks.
I turn right and left.
Right and left.
Well, right, then left, and then you avoid it all. And it's country lanes.
Hang on a minute.
It's better. It's a better road.
Look. Oh, why am I going down this cul-de-sac with him? I'm going to go down it, Rachel. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Okay. If you're on the A303 and you're heading south, and you want to expedite your journey by a millisecond, right? If you turn right and then you turn left, you're going to have to turn left again, mate.
Yes.
You didn't say that. You just said turn right and turn left.
And then turn left again.
Okay, great. Well, if you're going to give the directions, give the directions. Don't get exasperated with me going, you missed that turn.
But once you're turning right and left, you're on the right track anyway.
Are you so bothered,
about
speed, you know, out on the road this morning, beating that bloke on the bike, right? Expediting a journey down to Devon, when all you ever do on the show is slow it down. Why is it the opposite here to the rest of your life? That's what I want to know.
This show needs a bit of slowy downy vassiness sometimes.
No, see, this is because you're in such a rush for the rest of your life. You come and go, I'm going to go to the show for a slow down.
It's like a
bath. You refuel.
Yeah. Anyway, don't think I've forgotten about Taskmaster, Rachel. So, Taskmaster, recommissioned for 6 more seasons on Channel 4. Awesome. The brand new junior Taskmaster, which is currently casting, which is very exciting because they're looking for a junior Alex and a junior Greg, which is brilliant. And I'd love to know who they're seeing, because you think, who do I know that could do that? And you think, no, because they're probably too old. Because to us, younger people are still old to really young people and to kids. So have you garnered some guidance from your children who they might like to see host Taskmaster Junior?
No, I don't think he's asked our kids. Well,
Excuse me, yeah. That might be an idea.
Yeah, but weirdly, our children don't watch the programme because they find it too weird that Daddy's on it.
No, I know that, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, because it's a whole brand new entity. They will know who they like, won't they, on YouTube or... get Mr Beast to host it. Mr Beast hosts
it. Yeah, no, I mean, that would
like
be amazing.
A billion viewers. It'll be the biggest debut.
That's one of the only other times that the kids have been impressed by Alex was when Mr Beast commented on the Taskmaster YouTube channel.
Well, Mr Beast is very Taskmaster-y anyway, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, Mr Beast, he seems like a wonderful human being, Mr Beast.
He does seem to be.
Yeah, because you think of the name, that, oh, I don't want my kids watching Mr Beast. And then he turns out to be really charitable, really friendly, really joyous.
Fun and silly.
Yeah, very Alex.
Yep.
Is Alex our Mr Beast?
He's my Mr Beast.
Oh, that's a whole different show.
Kids listening.
By the way, you should have seen the expression on her face.
Yours.
You should have seen the look. Buckle up, Alex. She's coming home after 10. Now, Nicholas Martin... He would usually just be about to set off for school at 5 to 8, his regular commute across the bridge in Marlifornia. But of course, today he's homeschooling with his pals because it's strike day 2. Even though strike day 1 was not as striking as the kids would have liked, because they still went to school and they missed out on a few lessons, but not all lessons, but they were still sort of there-ish. No, if you're listening, he's doing this a lot now. It's really getting on my nerves. Every time we post anything with Noah on my Insta, it gets like a ridiculous amount of hits. So today's Throwback Thursday for TFI. Friday, Noah, is you interviewing in conversation with Justin Bieber, Equal7's TFI, at Virgin Radio UK. And you have more hits in the last hour than any video I've posted ever. So thanks. Well done, Noah.
It's really cool.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool. It's really cool.
Actually, it's cool for very many reasons. A, Noah's cool. B, Justin Bieber's cool. And C, I love how you're looking at Noah with such pride, but also a little bit of trepidation.
Absolutely. Well, he's live on Channel 4. He's like, oh, what's he going to say? Is he going to get it right? I don't know what's going to happen. Ah! And Justin Bieber, he's wearing what looks like a hazmat suit because he's just slid down. Do you remember the slide we had?
Yes.
We had the slip and slide. And that's how guests used to get on the show sometimes for a week or two. Until we didn't find it funny anymore. Justin Bieber only agreed to come on the show because he'd seen the slip and slide. And he came on the slip and slide. And then we did the paw painting. Do you remember we did the paw painting with him?
Yes.
And I still have the boots that have all this paint over them, this like multicolored splatter paint, which looks cool. It looks like some manufacturer has come up with some shabby chic, you know, well, let's splatter some paint on some boots and sell them for loads of money. But actually, that was Justin Bieber that splattered the boots.
That would be cool, isn't it? I mean, I like your boots. Where did you get them? Well, I got them there, and then the paint is Justin Bieber.
Yes. Boots by Justin. Mm. That's what they are. Bieber boots. Paul in Chesterfield. Gravel bikes are just great. Now I just need some nice wide mud guards to keep me clean on my commute through the park. You can have the mud guards. I got the option to go with the mud guards. I like the mud up the back. You know, it's evidence that you've been out there. You've been on it. You've been tearing it up. You've been giving it all the beans. But of course, if you're on your way to work, I get it. They do ruin the look, though, of the bike.
I don't mind a flying mud guard rather than the ones that go all the way around the wheels. I think the ones around the wheels are a bit...
I think the flying mud guard is like... It's more like a... It's like a spreader. It just makes things... It accentuates the mud.
No, it doesn't. They're really good.
So why do they ever bother with the big ones if the flying mud guards are so cool?
I don't know. I've only ever had a flying mud guard and I've never had mud at the back.
Well, maybe I've not put mine on right. Maybe they're too fly. Well, not enough fly. I don't know. Anyway, good luck with your gravel bike. Good luck with cycling. Big fan. New fan of cycling. David in Birmingham. I watched Taskmaster for the very first time last night and catch up, and I loved it. I don't know why. I'd never seen it before. I'm very pleased to hear there's going to be 6 more series and probably more even after that. You know, and Junior Taskmaster, which has never been on before because they haven't made one yet. They're casting at the moment. That could run forever because it's so, you know, in such a digital age, you know, you need all the analogue fun you can get. And it's all about the analog, isn't it? It's all about things, kids figuring things out for themselves. I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I couldn't be more pleased. I'm jealous. Hello, Chris and the gang. Here's an idea. Alex and Rachel should launch a Taskmaster jumpsuit. Susie and Cornwall. I'm sure it's in the pipeline. Mm. I'm sure there's like all the Taskmaster elves, wherever they are, you know, an Elon Musk kind of sunken city. Because I think, you know, Alex has got it. He's so clever into Cambridge. He's so clever. It's like when people who are doctors or dentists give it up and get into real estate. You know, it's not difficult to flip a property. You know, people who aren't perhaps that intelligent seem to make a very good business of it. You apply a scientific brain to something like that, they all become gazillionaires. My mate did it. He was an optician. And then his brother, he said, can you fund the purchase of this flat? He said, well, what do you want a flat for? He said, well, we're going to sell it. He said, okay, well, as long as we can have halves of the divvy. Then they gave that up and now they own half of Panama. Which I don't know, it's another story. But it's true. It's a true story. And Alex is the same when it comes to entertainment.
Which half of Panama?
I don't even know what shape Panama is. I wish I did. Oh, we watched somebody feed Phil yesterday.
Oh, from
Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro.
By the way, the one I couldn't remember was Philadelphia.
How does Rio match up to Philly?
Well, you don't. Comparison is a thief of all joy.
And that's, I know, but you know, not,
no,
which is better.
Come on.
But what, you know.
How does it match up to? Match, competition, better, winner.
Okay,
what are you talking about?
Which is better?
I'm not
Rio
saying which
or
is
Philly?
Better. I'm not saying which
Rio
is better.
Rio or Philly? Rio.
What does Rio de Janeiro mean?
But the Rio Grande is the something big. So river, maybe River of Janeiro. Janeiro's river.
Janeiro's January. So it's actually called the January River. Because when the Portuguese settled there in 1502, then that's what happened. What is the national drink of Brazil?
Mojito.
Do you think if you say it with that weird H, that I might be convinced that you're right?
Yes.
That's straight from the yellow
playbook. Oh, no, we had one. We had one at the rap party for the Olympics. Oh, no, they're really vicious. Caipirada or something. It begins with like a Caipirada, something
Caprina.
Like that. Yeah, that.
Caipirinha.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. And there was a pandemic in Brazil, and they reckon that the Caipirinha was key to people surviving because of the vitamin C, because it's all lime, isn't it? Lime and lemon, I think. Lots of lime and lemon, so that was very good. Then there's another constituent of it, but then there's the alcohol, which killed off lots of things.
Mostly
it's
the
full
alcohol.
Of alcohol. Anyway, Somebody Feed Phil, still doing great business on Netflix. That's been recommissioned too.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Big intro for Paris Hilton. Off you go, Vassos.
We'll always have a guest on this show who's such a worldwide super celebrity, everybody knows her. We'll always have a guest with 40 million followers on social media who says, that's hot, a lot. Her astonishing autobiography, The Memoir, is out now. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll always have Paris Hilton.
Good morning, Paris. How are you doing? Here she comes. Welcome, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing amazing. I just arrived.
Oh, my goodness me. You are amazing. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Congratulations on an amazing book. We've all read it. We're blown away by it.
Thank you.
It wasn't the book we expected. But we didn't know what we expected. Just not. This is so candid. It's so. It feels like you're so free when you're writing it. Did you set off to write the book that this has ended up being?
It was just a whole path of self-discovery, and ever since my documentary This Is Paris, I've really just been on this path. And I just felt that it was time just to tell my true story, since the media has written my narrative for the past two decades and it wasn't really who I was.
Let's start off with a bit of light. We'll go to the dark. We'll go everywhere for what we have time for.
The book has it all.
It has it all. First of all, one of the heroes in the book, and there are many, Graham Cracker.
Yes.
Tell us about her.
Graham Cracker is my grandmother. She passed away from breast cancer, and I miss her so much, but she was such a force of nature and just such like a brilliant, empowered woman, and she's always my inspiration since I was a little girl.
How did she look after you? What did you learn from her?
I just learned so many things, how to be confident, how to really just be a good person, how to paint. She was very artistic.
I love when you talk about getting a job. You fancied getting a job, and you and your pal were talking about modelling, and your mum and dad said, yeah, it's great to get a job. And then you said that you let them know what was on your mind, and they said, no, we meant babysitting. How did that go?
Yeah, my parents were very strict. They didn't want my sister and I in the modeling world when we moved to New York. So when we asked for a job, I was like, I'm not really into babysitting. It's more fun on the runway.
And how long was it from that moment before you actually were paid for modeling? So was it a good few years after that?
No, I actually just went behind her back and went into this all these different modeling agencies and started walking in the shows and shooting campaigns. So I just did it on my own without asking.
Let's talk about one of the many chapters, which were such a revelation for all of us reading it. And we're so admiring of the fact that you went there. And it seems that you gathered, confidence is the wrong word, but as you wrote more, you thought, no, this feels right. I've got to carry on with this narrative. There's a chapter where it begins, and as one's reading it, you think, okay, this is the beginning of a kidnapping, which is what you thought at the time. Can you speak to the beginning of this few chapters, if you don't mind?
Well, when I was 16, I was sneaking out and getting bad grades, and my parents sent me to this boarding school, and one of the ways that they send kids there is these people called transporters. So they came in my room at 4:30 in the morning and said, do you want to go the easy way or the hard way, holding up handcuffs? And then that's when they brought me to this string of like boarding schools, which I wouldn't even call them schools because they were just the most traumatic and abusive places I've ever experienced.
And you were warned about, the potential of being kidnapped anyway by your mum and dad. And your mum and dad were in the house at the time and you thought you were being kidnapped.
Yes, I thought I was.
For ransom.
I had no idea what was happening. It was just such a scary situation.
Okay. And then on from there, you know, this was only the beginning of the nightmare, wasn't it?
Yes.
Can you sort of, you know, obviously we want people to read the book, but can you give us, can you frame what the narrative of what happened over the next 2 years?
Well, it's all very detailed in the book, but basically the shorter answer of it is my parents thought they were sending me to a normal boarding school. These places are extremely abusive. I kept running away. In the book, I talk about just so many stories of escaping these places. And I spent 2 years of my life in these places, and one at Provo Canyon School for 11 months. I didn't see sunlight or breathe fresh air for that the whole time. And it was just extremely traumatic every single day. And I couldn't tell my parents because anytime I tried to, they would immediately grab the phone and take away my phone privileges and tell my parents that I was lying.
And this is all part of the cell of these schools.
Yes.
So-called schools.
These places, they're still around. There's thousands of them now. It's turned into a multi-billion dollar industry, and hundreds of thousands of children a year are getting sent to these places. Hundreds of children have died, and people had no idea what was happening until I started telling my story and more survivors came through and felt comfortable enough to be believed.
So they're missold to the parents. The parents are sort of pre-brainwashed.
Yes.
Or gaslit, if you like.
They have such deceptive marketing. They have these brochures with smiling kids and rainbows, and it looks like you're going to be riding a horse, and they have no idea what's happening once you get inside there. And it's easy for them to say because they're like, oh, your child is lying to you. They're already getting in trouble. Why would you believe them? You're going to believe an adult that's watching over them. So it's kind of the perfect storm for these people to get away with it.
So they missell what's on offer to the mums and the dads or the guardians or whoever's thinking about putting their kids through this crazy process. And then they pre-warn the same parents that these are the stories you will then get back from your kid. And by the way, this is a playbook that the kids go through, and it's all fantasy. It's all made up. So really, they've got you sort of done and dusted before you even are kidnapped from your own home.
Yes, they have calls with the families. They send in all these different just letters explaining what's going to happen. Your kid's going to say they're being abused. Basically, everything they're doing in there, they're warning the parents that it's all
the
lies.
Kids are going to make it up.
Yes.
So how many times, I mean, you know, as time is a great healer, and you talk about the, being a little Houdini, don't you, about the fact that you escaped several times. Can you just give us a, speak to those, a few of those escapes, if you don't mind? Because they were genuine escapes.
Yes.
Like from prison.
It was,
or worse.
It felt like you were in prison. These places are so dehumanizing, the way that they treat you. And I would just escape through mountains on Greyhound buses for days at a time.
And again, the school had this sort of sealed up because they talked to the cops and they said, oh, another one of those crazy kids has escaped. So even the cops didn't know.
Everyone's in on it. All the people who live around the schools, the cops.
Oh, they are in on it.
They're getting paid if they find the kids. So it's just this whole... It's really just messed up just what's happening in this industry.
Vassas was saying the same thing. Rachel was saying the same thing. The more we... Because we get up really early. So, like, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we feel like we're on drugs anyway, you know. And we were reading the book yesterday thinking, you know, chapter after chapter, we had to keep checking whether this was, like, you know, a plot of a film that you were in or you... And it's like, this was your life. This was... It's insane.
It's insane. I know. I read it.
I mean, properly insane.
I can't believe that I've survived
that
it.
You did it.
I'm a badass.
You got through. You are a badass. and then, so if you look at what happened after that, when you finally escaped, you know, and your mum and dad still didn't really believe you, did they? For ages and ages and ages. Yeah. And then you look at the success that you enjoyed. I suddenly understood why you were so joyful, because you'd had it so awful. Mm. And so, you know, a lot of the people that work on the show, my wife as well, friends of mine, lots of gay friends of mine, they love you, you know. And I said to them, I wanted to know why, you know. And they said, and a lot of people say, I don't know, she just has something. You know, she always had something. She just connects with me. My little boy, who is 10, saw me reading this book last night. He never comments on books that I read, and he wears dresses and he's into theatre and school. He heals. He's into the lot. He loves it. And he said last night, he came in my bedroom to kiss me goodnight, and he said, "Who's that?" And I said, "She's called Paris Hilton." He said, "She's beautiful," and he couldn't take. And it's only a picture, but you had it was the beginning of the connection that I've experienced so many times over the last 24 hours. And so you have this aura about you. It's amazing what can be conveyed if there's a depth to it, even if people aren't aware of it.
Thank you. I'm like gonna cry. That's so sweet. And I just want to say hi to your son.
Eli.
Hi, Eli.
He's going to be at school.
You.
I'll play this. But oh, my goodness me. He's going to be so thrilled. He's your new biggest fan.
I love him.
If you were remaking My New Best Friend, he would be up
yes.
for it. Okay, let's talk about the TV shows. Let's talk about your first TV show, My Simple Life, which was it the foundation stone for reality TV? I talk about your show quite a lot, and I talk about The Osbournes because they were both similar but representing different sort of ends of the reality TV genre. Mm-hmm. How did it come about? It was an instant hit. Of course it was. Tell us more.
Well, Fox contacted me and said, we want to do a show that's like Green Acres meets Clueless. We want you to play this kind of blonde airhead. Nicole, you be the troublemaker. You guys are going to go. We're not telling you where, but it's going to be in the middle of nowhere. And you guys are going to live the simple life.
So this is Nicole Richie.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we had no idea what we were getting into. This was like the beginning of reality television.
And they knew about you because of your modeling and because of your partying and things like that.
Yes. Been doing shoots with David LaChapelle for Vanity Fair and Vogue, and was all the runway shows. So I was a socialite in New York.
How good was
then.
He, by the way, David LaChapelle?
Oh my God, he's
ever.
Incredible. He's such a legend.
Yeah,
he's the one I really attribute my career to, because I was working with him since I was 17 years old, and he was just such an inspiration.
He was the fire starter for the fire starter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted.
I love him.
So please continue about the show.
And we just had to basically continue season after season and playing this character, so the whole world assumed that's who I really was.
And there was the initial launch was like off the charts, wasn't it?
We had show like 13.5 million viewers first night.
Which was massive. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew about the genre.
Yes.
And then the week after, I mean, something happened in between and around that. But the week after, the viewing figures went up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know you got a hit.
Yes.
If number one is show number one has a sizzling audience figure, then that's fine. It's great. The series has a chance. Show two is higher than one. It's like, all bets are off. What did it feel like? What was it? What was the experience of that?
It was just so exciting. That show, I'm so proud of. I love that it's so timeless and people are still enjoying it today. And I cannot believe it's about to be the 20-year anniversary in December. Nicole and I were just talking about that the other day. It's just insane that it's been that many years since it started.
Isn't it interesting when you get to an age, because you're in your early 40s now, aren't you? And you get to an age when you get the first time round again, because there's nostalgia happens for the first time to many people, including yourself and the viewers and your fans. And you get to live it again with a bit of perspective. And it's almost better, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Early on in the book is party tips. There's only three that you need. Number one, stay hydrated. Number two, stay pretty. Tipsy can be cute, but drunk is gross. Number three, wear boots like good, sturdy platform boots and comfortable clothes so you can dance all night and easily climb in and out of our windows and over fences as needed. Is that reverse engineering, that strategy? Is that what you realised, or was that from the off, from the get-go?
That was probably from what I experienced as a teenager, just learning that way.
Talking about anniversaries, tell us about the Holy Trinity photo. It's in the book. It's a great part of it. It's an amazing part of the book. The Holy Trinity photo, how it happened, and the fact that you know a photo is iconic when it gets its own anniversary. Over to you, Paris Hilton.
That was just a night out. Brittany and I were over at the Beverly Hills Hotel at our friend's after party, and we were bored, so we literally jumped out a window, snuck out, and then when we got out, there was just a hordes of paparazzi. And then we got in the car, and then Lindsay started walking over, and then we all were in the car together.
And the reason it was, I mean, you know, when the stars align, because they do align, don't they? You know, and if you do the right things, hopefully the right things happen more often than not. So you had a two-seater. It was a very flash car, very gorgeous car.
Yes.
And it was the fact that it was a two-seater that ended up as one of the chief ingredients of making the photograph iconic. So what happened? Who was climbing over who? Or
it was me, Brittany in the middle, and then Lindsay.
So Brittany gets in. So she's already in the middle. She's already on the jump seat, as it were.
Yeah. Well, we were just riding before. Just we went there together, the two of us, and then we left with the three of us.
You're like the Beatles. I mean, you know, they often say that the reason the Beatles were so successful is because there were four guys who got together who could have had their own band, but decided to be in the same band. So you had four band leaders in a band. Is that how it felt with Lindsay and Brittany?
It just felt like another night out in LA. And then morning, this was our life back in LA. This was just how it was. And it was then the next morning, just to see it plastered everywhere, I was like, what? This was just us going home. It wasn't that big of a deal.
But you realized it was a big deal.
Well, after, yeah, but yeah. In the time of it happening, now just another night out.
How crazy was it? So are you in the hills? Are you above Sunset? Is this what we're talking about? You're around that area?
I don't live there.
No, because, but then?
Yes.
Okay. So because it's not, it's a stroll down to Sunset, isn't it? To
yes.
The strip.
I used to live right on Kings Road, which was literally a few blocks from Sunset. Right.
And how, I mean, was it every night? Did you have nights off or?
I used to go out so much. I am such like a homebody now. I don't even know how I used to go out so much, but I loved the nightlife. I lived for it. And now like I won't go unless I'm working. If I'm DJing, I'll be there. But other than that, I would so much rather be home with my baby and my husband.
I get it. I just
like an introvert now.
No, we're the same. We did the same thing. We had this big TV show in the 90s. We went out all week and then we stopped for an hour, did the show, and then did it all again for another 6 days and 23 hours. You know, it was exactly the same.
London used to be so much fun back in the day.
Tell us about partying in London then.
Oh, it was just so much fun. I remember Wednesdays at China White were just epic. We used to go to, what was that underground cabaret?
Not Madame JoJo's, was it?
On Tramps. Thursdays. This was like 20-something years ago.
Did you ever
ago.
Go to Atlantic Bar? Were you around for that? And
no.
10 rooms and things like that? China White was just after those. China White sort of took over.
Yeah, that place was so cool.
Yeah, so super cool. Mm-hmm. Rachel.
You have always been a trailblazer at Paris, but you're now so into tech. You're really into NFTs. Like, what was the appeal for non-fungible tokens?
I've just always been an undercover nerd, and I've always just been obsessed with technology. And I actually did my first NFT back in 2019, and this was for the Australia fires. This was before anyone was talking about them. And then I just saw the power in them, how artists could really take back their control, and it really just got rid of a lot of the gatekeepers, and just being able to discover all these new artists and really have a platform and a voice for them. And now I've just been developing worlds inside of Roblox and Sandbox and all these metaverses and doing digital wearables, and it's just exciting and fun.
And you just always find the next thing exciting, don't you? You are just moving and grooving because you know that life is fluid, and the more fluent you are and accepting of that, and we're only here once, and just get on with it.
I feel, yeah, life is short, make the most of it. I'm an Aquarius, I'm a very creative person. Also with my ADHD, I'm constantly just thinking of ideas and thinking outside the box and being a risk taker and
That a lot, ADHD. Eli is an HDA brother or sister and or sister of yours.
It's a superpower.
It is a superpower. And it's now taught us that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There are people... Because Eli's the same. Just, you know, he was... You know, we sent him to school. Of course we did, because that's the law. Otherwise, you get arrested. You should get arrested depending on which schools you send your kids to anyhow. And that's a narrative of the book. But we sent him to school to do something he wasn't able to do. Sit still and write and read. He couldn't do those things. Yeah. So people used to refer to those as learning difficulties. We call them learning differences. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he has to express himself differently. And so it comes out as song and dance and energy. I arrived home yesterday from work. We have a bridge near us across the river, and I was arriving home. I was about to turn into our house, and Eli was coming home from school, and he couldn't see me, right? And so it's interesting to see people you know and love when they don't know you're watching. Mm-hmm. And he was coming across the bridge, and he was skipping. He was on his own. He was skipping and cheering, laughing and singing over the bridge. And I thought, there you go. Bottle some of that and sell it. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? It's energy as well, isn't it?
It really is. Bless energy. And back when I was a teenager, no one was talking about ADHD. So
did you know? Were you diagnosed?
I didn't know till I was 20.
Right.
So I just thought, I can't concentrate. I have no attention span. I'm getting all these bad grades, but I don't know. I just couldn't sit still. I just needed to be doing things.
Your leg's toughening even now, isn't it? You've got the thing going on. I love it. I love the fact it's so interesting. It's such a great tell. It's not a bad tell. It's a good tell. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it a lot when we're interviewing people. I think, you know, when people are... And there's that whole thing, you know, they couldn't concentrate. Or she found it difficult to concentrate as a child. Concentration is the gold medal. Well, why does one have to concentrate ever as a human being unless your life depends on it or somebody else's life? You know, why is concentrating, you know, finds it difficult to focus? Good! Finds it easy to focus? Really? Or you need to worry about that? That's you sort of flip it, don't you?
100. I think you should also watch with Eli this movie. It's a documentary called The Disruptors,
right.
And it's all about ADHD and so many people in the industry who have it, who are such brilliant business and so successful, and they've really harnessed the superpower.
You talk about it in the book, don't you? Of course you do.
Yes,
you
check it out.
You referenced Marilyn Monroe a few times in the book as well, and she has that great quote about don't have regrets, you know. And because regrets, you can interpret them and beat yourself up and get into a negative thought loop of saying that they are mistakes, you know. Okay, well, they might be mistakes, but if you don't make mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. When did you first feel an affinity with Marilyn Monroe?
Ever since I was a little girl, I just thought she was so beautiful and had this really sweet innocence about her. And I could tell that there was a lot more to her than what was put out there.
Okay, have you learned from her wisdom?
I just have learned just how her aura was and her character. She just, and after studying and seeing just so much that she went through, there was just, she had a lot of pain inside and she was playing a character. And I think that's what a lot of people do when they have trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Vassos.
Well, Paris, I was reading your book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I sort of had to keep pinching myself that did I just make all this up in my head? And I thought, she's brilliant. She's a total bad. And then you totally clicked into badassness when you talk about those schools where you're being, you know, you're basically being kidnapped to take, but they had you in handcuffs, taking you through aeroplanes and airports. And at one stage you said, look, can you just take the handcuffs off because I need to go to the loo. Right. And there's this awful couple who are, you know, taking you to this school where you clearly don't want to go. And you think, well, she comes into the loo with you. She's right outside. And then you say something like, here's the thing about dancing in nightclubs. It's perfect training for this moment because you have legs like a kangaroo, all that jumping up and down in crowded clubs. And then you think, and this is where, you know, you differ from like everyone else, basically everyone, 8 other billion people on the planet. You think, I know, I'll just smash through the loo door with my thighs, right, and run for it, which is exactly what you do. And I thought, brilliant. What do you think gives you that kind of, you know, no one else would have even thought of that.
I was just like, I need to get the hell away from these people. So I literally just kicked the door as hard as possible and ran like hell. And then I went down almost the wrong escalator. I had to jump from the top of the escalator to the bottom. And then I ran directly to the Hilton Hotel. And I was like, please get me a cab, get me out of here. And then I went to the San Francisco Hilton. But yeah, it's like when I see, just relive my life, especially reading this book, it's literally like something out of a film.
Hilton Hotels being a sort of safe haven if you're a Hilton.
Yes, we love Hilton.
Yeah, well, you work for Hilton now. Now, lots of people have you wrong, and this book will definitely set them right. And it's a real eye-opener. It's a fantastic book. It's like one of the most striking. We read these for a living. We interview people that have written them and some who haven't written them for a living. And this is right up there. It really is, right? It's absolutely amazing. One of the revelations in it is that you weren't the Hilton Hotel heiress, were you? That is a misconception. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, I've worked, everything I've done on my own. I've never taken anything from my family since I'm 17 years old.
But your mum and dad, they are successful and they are wealthy, but that's because of a real estate company.
Yes. That's something that my grandfather always instilled from my great-grandfather to my grandfather and then passing it on to my father and to my sister and brothers, that hard work ethic. And that things aren't just going to be handed to you. And I think that's so important when raising a child, because you can give them everything, but you'll just destroy them and spoil them. So yeah, I feel lucky that I was raised that way, because I don't think I would be the businesswoman I am today if not.
I didn't realize I bought a house from your dad.
Really?
And I bought Nicole's dad's old house on Oriel. Did you ever go there?
I grew up there.
Did you actually?
Yes, I grew up there. Nicole and I snuck out of there many a nights. And
I couldn't believe
it. I love
it.
That house.
So did I.
Sick.
Don't have it anymore. That's
it was
for sure.
So nice.
It was the best, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the house that has the pool went into the main bedroom and it went into the kitchen. So you could get up in the morning, you could get out of bed, you could dive into the pool, swim through the garden from the bedroom and swim into the kitchen for a cup of tea. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did you play on the tennis court?
Yeah.
Did you stay in the guest house around the back?
We were everywhere in that house.
The best,
just
it?
Exploring, having adventures, so many fun memories.
Yeah, wow. And Brittany lived up the top in the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How is everyone now? Do you keep in contact with people?
Everyone's doing really good.
Yeah.
I was just writing with Lindsay yesterday. Yeah. She's pregnant. I'm so excited for her.
Yeah.
And Brittany's happy and married. Just like the Holy Trinity is all grown up.
The Holy Trinity. Will we see you back together again? Can you get an old McLaren from someone or a Mercedes McLaren from someone?
That would be fun.
For a big birthday or something like that. 25th anniversary, something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you want to do? What is your intention? No expectations. What is your intention? What are your objectives for the next few years, do you think?
I've just been focusing on building my media company, 1111, and it's just exciting to do every business vertical, from having my own podcasting company, movie production company, television, metaverse, products, licensing, about to release my 30th fragrance, doing my second album. So I am just...
Your 30th fragrance. I love that.
Yep.
Wow.
New skincare, new makeup.
Bring it on.
I do it all.
Wow. Good for you.
Like I said, you only live once. We got to make the
you
most of it.
You only live once. Mm-hmm. But if you live like you, once is enough. Mm-hmm. That's the point, isn't it? Paris, the memoir. Thanks for joining us. Paris is on the One Show tonight. She's on This Morning tomorrow. Great to see you.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Good. Thank you very much. And congratulations on the book. It is such an honest story.
Thank you.
Recollection, reflection.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.